lot of money,
a lot of power. And in the lead export nations of pharmaceutical products, there has been a long-standing connection between these corporate interests and government officials and regulatory agencies, and et cetera, et cetera. Take, for example, Germany. The entire German nation after World War II, was called West Germany, was created around the chemical pharmaceutical cartel, Bayer, BASF, Höchst. Several chancellors came directly from these companies and were promoted into the highest office, meaning the Chancellery of Germany.
Like Helmut Kohl.
Helmut Kohl was a lead person, and of course the people around him, Mr. Schäuble, Angela Merkel, are direct offsprings of Helmut Kohl's era. And all areas of German society are have been affected by the very nature of the power of these interest groups, and whether that is medicine, a strong connection into the medical schools, what you learn as a medical student, strong connection into the media, a strong connection even in the legal system, so that when you are being attacked as someone who is challenging the pharmaceutical interests, you face an uphill battle, because the pharmaceutical interest is just the common denominator of that society.
Good. Tell me, what do you say in your book? What is it about?
Which book?
The one with the United Europe.
The Nazi roots of the Brussels EU.
What is the connection between these big groups, pharmaceutical, with the politicians and the Nazis in the wars?
Well, first, the people of the world were told about history that there was World War One, and it just happened. Some kings or emperors at that time ended up in some rivalry, and suddenly there was war. Not so. This war was a war of conquest, organized, conceived, strategically planned by pharmaceutical and chemical cartel, namely Bayer, BASF, Höchst, who at that time had the lead in identifying new molecules, reproducing them, patenting them, owning them, and they wanted to export this model to other countries. Now, these other countries, they didn't want to be controlled by them, so they needed to organize a military adventure, military conquest of these countries. And now we understand that World War One was nothing less than the first attempt of this new industry, the chemical pharmaceutical concentration of power, to claim the domination of Europe and the world. And then this adventure ended in a defeat, luckily, at the price of millions of people dying. And the German emperor was sent into the exile, and the corporate interest continued and invested in the Nazis. And Bayer, BASF, Höchst, by that time they had formed the IG Farben cartel, became the largest supporter of the Nazis' rise to power. And at the end of World War II, after the defeat, after 1945, there was even a specific trial where 24 managers of IG Farben were tried for the crimes they committed in Nuremberg. But that is just the backdrop of this book. What really triggered me to initiate this project was that we were able to find documents about the key architect of the Brussels EU. Mm-hmm. Unbeknown to most people, this was a gentleman by the name of Walter Hallstein. Walter Hallstein was a prominent lawyer in Nazi Germany. He was member of a delegation that was sent down by the Hitler regime to Rome to negotiate with the Mussolini lawyers about the future shape of Europe mm-hmm. after they had conquered Europe. That was in June 1938, 1.5 years, 14 months before they started World War II. They knew they would do this, they knew they would launch this war, and they started to think, how are they going to administer this conquered countries? What are the laws, the administrative regulations? Mm-hmm. And Hallstein was the key person in that, in the German delegation, for the new architecture of a Nazi cartel Europe. Luckily, that didn't happen, and everyone thought that key people of that nature would actually go to prison or would be sentenced and removed from public office or, you know, put away. Not so with Mr. Hallstein. When he was interrogated by the what was called the denazification committee of the Allies, mm-hmm. there were specific committees set up to make sure that the Nazis could not continue with their philosophy and when he was interviewed, he lied to them. He was they had to sign a document indicating whether they were members of Nazi organizations and mm-hmm. Were promoting that philosophy and stuff like that. And we got hold of that that document, yes. And we saw that he was just outright lying. He was member of the most notorious professional organization of the Nazis, which was the Nazi Association of what they called protectors of the law. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Nazi law, you know. And he was a lead figure for the Nazi state in these negotiations. And he just lied. He just said, I'm innocent. And that was his entree into the next life. And he was picked up by the first German Chancellor Adenauer. And they and promoted to the position of the first, first promoted to the chief negotiator for preparing the Rome treaties, which mm-hmm. became, in 1957, the first legal foundation of the Brussels EU. And then he was promoted by the West German government to become the first president of the EU Commission. And he was given 8,000 and something bureaucrats.
People working
under him, mm-hmm. Only responsible to this one person, to create what we today know as the Brussels EU Europe, including the undemocratic structures the EU Commission was created as an exclusive executive committee responsible to literally no one. That's how it's phrased. Mm-hmm. Not the people, not the governments, to no one. They have the exclusive right to initiate legislation. Where are we? We are living in the 21st century, and everyone thinks we are living in a democracy. It's outright dictatorship there on behalf of corporate interests. And it's fantastically masked by the propaganda that is being made to praise Europe as the model of peace and the model of prosperity and et cetera, et cetera. And it's only now that the crisis that this model initiated, the one-sidedness for the corporate interests in Spain and other countries in Europe, Greece, Italy, Portugal, Ireland, and so on. So pretty soon France, and ultimately also Germany. It is only now that this crisis is breaking open that these facts can be traced back to their origin. Mm-hmm. So in a nutshell, the Hallstein documents were the, for me, the main reason to launch this project. I was very happy to have good colleagues working with me, Dr. Nitsuki, my long-standing colleague from Poland, Paul Taylor, and of course August Kowalczyk, who is a survivor of the Auschwitz concentration camp. Mm-hmm. And with his support for this book, he of course was adding a lot of authenticity as one of the victims of Auschwitz. Auschwitz being, of course, 100% a subsidiary of IG Farben at the time.